Hey, see, my life will never remain the same again. Come on, let's say that one more time. See, my life will never remain the same again. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:26. Oh, glory. Genesis 1:26. All right, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Then God said, let us make man in our image, underline that, our image, according to our likeness, underline that, our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle. Okay? Over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. 27 says, so God created man in his own image. Underline that, in his own image, in the image of God. Underline that, the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. Okay, so in this meeting, we just want to look around God's word, you know, in a particular direction. All right, I want to look and examine the image of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, the image of God. Okay, but from the perspective of power. Okay. So, you know, you can look at that image from different perspectives. But we have chosen power for the sake of this teaching. Okay? All right. So we see here that God's original intent was to make man, okay, in his own image. You see, verse 26 says, let us make, okay, man in our image, according to our likeness. We said that word make. Translate that Hebrew word naase. Okay, if you've been with us for a while, you probably know this. Naase, that's N-A-A-S-E-H. Okay, which means to accomplish mightily. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he says, let us accomplish mightily, man, in our image, okay, according to our likeness. Now, the word image used here, verse 26, it translates the Hebrew word selem. Selem. That's T-S-E-L-E-M. T-S-E-L-E-M. Which means a resemblance. Okay? A resemblance. It comes from an old Arabic root word, which means to cut. Okay? So it could suggest a cutting. Okay? Or like we say, you know, in today, today's verbiage, a chip of the old block. Okay? That's that word, selem. Right, a resemblance, a look-alike. Now, the word likeness, okay, in the second parallel is demuth, d-e-m-u-t-h, okay, demuth, d-e-m-u-t-h, which means similitude, okay, in like manner or like fashion. Okay, so here God is essentially saying, my plan is for men to look like me, okay, to resemble me, to be similar to me, okay. So simply put, God made the man to bear his image. Now, in Bible theology, this is known as Imago Dei. Praise the Lord. Imago Dei. I-M-A-G-O, then D-E-I. Okay, a Latin term meaning image of God. Okay, so the man in God's plan is the man who looks like him. Do you follow that? The man who looks like God. Imago Dei. Praise the Lord. Okay, and now verse 27 seems to imply that God accomplished that plan. And look at that, verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. You see that? Underline that. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So the question now is, was man made in God's image? Okay, because verse 27 tells us that God created man in his own image. So the question now will be, was man made in God's image? Now the answer will be yes and no. Okay, yes and no. So man only had God's image partially. Okay, if you've been with us for a while, you know we've explained that Moses uses a different Hebrew word here, right? For create, Wayibra. That's that word. Okay, W-A-Y-Y-I-B-R-A. Wayibra, that's that word. It means to form or to fashion out of nothing. To form or to fashion out of nothing. Okay, so this word refers to the creation of man. Do you follow that? The creation of man, not the accomplishment of God's plan. Okay, so when man is created in God's image, okay, in quote, verse 27, that is not God's plan in fulfillment. It's not. Okay, God's plan would be fulfilled, accomplished, brought to pass when man looks exactly like him, not when man is created. Can you follow that? Okay, so verse 27 cannot be the fulfillment of that plan. Alright? So what then does verse 27 mean? Okay, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Now, simple. The image here would be a partial reflection. Okay, not a full reflection. A partial reflection of God. Okay, now what exactly is that reflection? Simple, dominion. Do you follow that? Dominion over creation. Remember verse 26 of that same chapter says, let them have dominion, right? Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, this is what was accomplished. Verse 27. Do you follow that? Okay, so man is made to rule over nature. Do you follow that? That is the creation in God's image, verse 27, not God's plan. Do you follow that? Okay, so what happens in verse 27? God delegates his authority over the earth to man. You know, God made the earth, right? God owns the earth, right? Okay, then he gives that authority, that rulership over the earth to the man. Now, how many of you know that God's plan, verse 26, has not yet been accomplished? Do you follow that? Okay, so what we have in verse 27 is a partial reflection. Man is given dominion over all the earth. Observe how the psalmist says this. Please turn your Bible, Psalm 8, verse 6. Psalm 8, verse 6. Look at how the psalmist says that there. It says, you have made him, now him there is the man, okay, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. You see that? You see that? Can we say you've made him in your image to have dominion? Is that the same thing? Genesis 1, 27, 28, 26? Okay. It says, you have put all things under his feet. Now look at 7. It says, all sheep. Now he's there is man, okay? And oxen, even the beast of the field. It says, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the parts of the seas. Now that is the image in verse 27. Genesis 1, verse 27. Okay, not that God accomplished his plan. Okay, verse 26. So with man, you would find a partial reflection of God, not a full reflection. Okay, and that reflection is in the context of dominion. Okay, over the earth. So God made man as his ambassador. Do you follow that now? Okay, to govern the earth in his stead. Alright, but that is where God's image stops. Do you get it? So in Genesis 1:27, You find a partial reflection, but not a full reflection. Okay, so Genesis 1:27, man was in the process of being made. Do you follow that? In God's image. Now, how would that happen? How would man be made in God's image? Now, see Genesis 1:26 again. Look at what it says. It says, then God said, let us make. Underline that, very key. It says, let us make. So, the making would be done by God himself. Okay, so how would man be made in God's image? How would that happen? By God himself making it happen. Praise the Lord. So the only way that man would look like God is if God makes man to look like him. Do you follow that? Okay, it's not in man's power to bring God's plan to pass. Okay, so you see that God set out to accomplish his plan. Genesis 2 verse 9. Remember, it's in the process, right, of being made. Okay, Genesis 2, 9. It says, and out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. It says, the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see that? Alright, then see verses 15 to 17. How would man be made in God's image? It says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now, would that include the tree of life? Okay, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You see that? So Moses is clear. Okay, the man who looks like God is the man with God's life. Do you follow that? So that would be the tree of life here, not the man with dominion over the earth. When it comes to dominion over the earth, every man has that image. Do you follow that? But when it comes to God's own image, his plan, Genesis 1:26, a man would only have that image by receiving of God's life. So, to be made in God's image, man would have to choose God's life. Do you see that? It would have to depend on God for life. Alright? And this is no surprise, okay, since God's plan would be accomplished by God himself. Remember, it says, let us make, right? So he himself would carry out that plan. So man would have to depend upon God for God's image and for God's life. Do you follow that so far? All right. Now in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, and you see that Satan there comes on the scene, okay, and then he tempts man. Now, observe Satan's temptation. Genesis 3:1. I want to pay very close attention to this, okay? Interestingly, the temptation of man is to look like God. Do you follow that? Satan tempts man to look like God. Let's see that. Genesis 3 verse 1. It says, now the serpent, okay, that would be a metaphor for the devil, okay, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, yes, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. For says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now look at 5. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And what? You will be like God. Underline that. Imago Dei. Come on. Okay. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now you notice that that tree is called the tree of knowledge. Right? Of good and evil. So some have asked, what does that tree represent? Simple. That tree represents man trying to look like God with man's own wisdom. Do you get it? That is why it's called the tree of what? Knowledge. Do you follow that? Okay, so man is trying to look like God with man's own wisdom, with man's own knowledge. So what is the temptation? Genesis 3. Simple. The temptation to man is look like God without God's help. Do you follow that? Okay, you can look like God, try to look like God, attempt to look like God, okay, without God's help. Now, was that God's plan? No. Okay, God's plan is let us make man, right? Not let man make man, referring to himself. So it was God who was going to make man to look like him. So if man says no to God and says, I by myself, by myself, can make myself look like God, what is that? Rebellion. Not only rebellion, pride. Can we say sin? Do you follow that? So that was Adam's sin. I want to look like God without God's help. Self-idolatry. Okay? And you see that man chose the latter. Look at verses 6 to 7 of that same chapter, Genesis 3. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of his fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. See that? And thus man fell, and sin entered into the world. Not only sin, sin with death. So look at this. Man's sin is attempting to look like God without God's help. Look at verse 22. This was after the fall, okay? Verse 22. It says, then the Lord God said, and look at this. Behold, the man has what? Become like one of us. Underline that. Become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat forever. You see that? So, look at this. Now remember, if you've been with us for a while, you know, I've always said that this text should be man has become separate from us, right? Remember that? Okay, but, you know, upon further study, I feel the translators are quite right. Okay, I did a little bit of searching in the Hebrew, okay? That phrase there can also mean become like one of us. Do you get it? So, man has become like one of us, but in self-dependence. Do you follow that? So that is what to know good and evil would mean. Can I see anybody follow that? So man has attempted to look like God. That's what God is saying there. Do you follow that? But not my way. His way. Okay? So good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2 and 3 refers to self-dependence. Alright? Now, man was not made to be self-dependent. Alright? I mean, if you're made and the very breath you breathe was given to you by God, that means you were made to depend upon Him. Right? I mean, look at everything that you are born, you were created into a world where you did nothing. God made everything. He gave you everything. So how can you think in your mind that you are self-dependent? Do you follow that? So self-dependence on man's part will be pride. Rebellion. The only one who is self-dependent is God. Okay? He's the only one who can exist without anyone. Do you get it? Man was not made that way. Alright? But here, Genesis 3:22, we have man become like God, alright, in the sense of trying to be self-sufficient. Alright? So man presumed that he could look like God by himself. But interestingly, reverse is the case. Okay? Man tries to look like God, but interestingly, man does not look like God. Actually, he goes farther and farther away from God's own image. Okay? Sin corrupts God's image in man. Alright? Man in sin is depraved. Look at how man looked after the fall. See Genesis 6:5. Run through now. Okay, please have your Bible handy. Genesis 6:5. Right? It says, then the Lord saw the wickedness of men. Underline that. The wickedness of men was great in the earth, and at every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Underline that. Only evil continually. Now look at verses 11 to 12. It says, the earth also was corrupt. You see that? Before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Underline that. Filled with violence. 12 says, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. Underline that, corrupt. Now look at this. For all flesh, that is all men, do you follow that? That is flesh there, okay? Had corrupted their way on the earth. Do you see that? Okay, see Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Popular verse. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Okay? And that will be the heart of man. Alright? Okay? And desperately wicked. You see that? Underline deceitful. Okay? Underline desperately wicked. You know, actually the Hebrew says, desperately sick. Do you follow that? That is the heart of man. Desperately sick. Who can know it? Look at Psalm 53 verse 1. Another popular verse. Psalm 53 verse 1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now look at this. They are corrupt. Underline that. Corrupt. Alright. And have done abominable iniquity. Underline that. Okay. There is none who does good. Underline that. None who does good. You see that? Describing man in sin. Look at Mark 7:21. Mark 7:21. Okay, it says, from within, underline that, from within, out of the heart of man, underline that, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. Come on, do you see that? From the heart of man. It says, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. Underline that, from within. And defile a man. Underline that, defile a man. So more and more, we see men look less and less like God. Do you see that? Now, isn't that ironical? What did Satan tell him? You will look like God, right? But we see the exact opposite. Do you see that? Look at how God looks. See 1 John 1:5. How does God look? 1 John 1:5. Okay. It says, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. You see that? In him is no darkness at all. Underline that, okay? So there is no darkness in God. Do you see that? Okay? See Matthew 5 verse 48. Matthew 5 48. Jesus speaking there. It says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Underline that. As your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, perfect here refers to moral uprightness. Hallelujah. Okay, so our Father in heaven is morally upright. Praise the Lord. Blameless, faultless, sinless. You follow that? Now, does man look like this? No, absolutely not. Okay, man looks nothing like this. So do you see that Satan lied to man? Okay, he didn't look like God by trying to look like God. Rather, he looked less and less like God. Alright? So look at what sin does. Sin corrupts that original image of God in man. Remember we said that man was made in God's image, right? Partially, right? Now what does sin do? Sin corrupts even that partial image in the man. Do you follow that? Alright? And that is why you see in the Bible that God hated idolatry. Amen? Now what is idolatry? Idolatry is giving God's image to objects. when God wanted that image in man. Do you follow that? All right. And God often spoke against this. See Leviticus 26 verse 1. Run through now. Okay. Leviticus 26 verse 1. It says, you shall not make idols for yourselves. See that? You shall not make idols for yourself, neither a carved image. Underline that. A carved image, nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You see that? See Leviticus 19 verse 4, similarly there. Leviticus 19:4. It says, do not turn to idols. You see that? Nor make for yourselves molding gods. I am the Lord your God. See Exodus 20:23. Exodus 20:23. It says, you shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. So, idolatry is to take objects as reflections of God. Do you follow that? An idol is an image given God's own image. Alright? Now, men were supposed to be God's image, right? Not things of wood and stone. So, God wanted men, not objects, right? Okay, gold, right? Silver, right? Statues, okay? Not such things, but men to talk, to act, and to do just like him. So God is like, Sharia Yesha, I made you to look like me, and then you are making stone, do you get it? And you're calling that my image. You get God's anger in quotes. Who is made to bear my image? You. Do you get it? And then you take stones, alright? You take wooden things, gold, silver, perishable things, and then you ascribe my image to those things. You know, that is some blasphemy. Don't you think so? Yes. You see, another issue that God had with idols was that idols could not do what God could do. Look at Isaiah 41 verse 21. Isaiah 41 verse 21. Alright. It says, present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. So God is speaking here, right? Okay, 22 says, let them, now them there are idols, okay? Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them, that is idols, show the former things what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. So this is statements of mockery. Do you see that? Okay, they can't do all of this. Look at 23. It says, show the things that are to come year after. You see that? That we may know that you, that is idols, are gods. Do you see that? Okay. It says, yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. 24 then says, indeed, you, that is idols, are nothing. Do you see that? Okay. And your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Do you see that? So, man was given God's image to objects. Do you follow that? Which had no power. Those objects did not look like God. They didn't talk like God. They couldn't act like him. Alright? It was man who was supposed to do all of this. It was man who was supposed to act like God, who was supposed to look like God, who was supposed to talk like God, who was supposed to do like him. Idolatry was therefore an abomination. Do you follow that now? Okay? So, we see man in sin corrupted to the fullest. Okay? Corrupted fully, completely. Number one, is not fully made in God's image, right? A partial reflection, right? Alright. Then number two, he corrupts that original image of God in him. Do you get it? Remember, there's a partial reflection, right? Alright. Now, even that reflection, he corrupts it. So what does that mean? It means that man uses his God-given authority to sin. See that? So he corrupts that image. Then number three, he calls objects God's image. When he, the man, was to be that image. See that? So God's plan, Genesis 1:26, is not brought to pass. It's not fulfilled. But then, like I say, amen, God cannot be thwarted. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can't stop him. Do you follow that? Alright, his plan will stand irrespective of man. Praise the Lord. Look at Isaiah 46, 9 to 11 as we begin to close. Isaiah 46, 9 to 11. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Isaiah 46, 9 to 11. Okay? It says, remember the former things of old. Isaiah 46, 9. Alright? It says, for I am God and there is no other. You see that? I am God and there is none like me. Now, what does it mean? There is none like me. Look at 10. It says, declaring the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Do you see that? And from ancient times, things that are not yet done. So he sees ahead. Come on. Okay. Saying, my counsel, that is my plan, shall stand. Praise the Lord. And I will do all my pleasure. Underline that. My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. 11 says, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. It says, indeed, I have spoken it. Underline that. I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Underline that. I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it. Underline that. Proposed it. That is planned it. Okay. I will also do it. Underline that. I will also do it. So, because God can see ahead, he can plan ahead. Do you see that? So, he sees things before they happen. That is why he can't be stopped. Do you follow that? You know, if you're traveling on the road, you know, you can only see what is right in front of you. Right? You know, with God, God can see that road till the very end, where it's going to. Do you get it? So, he knows where there will be blockages. So, he knows all the routes he can take. Do you get it? That is God. You can't stop him. Do you get it? You can't put a roadblock on his way. Praise the Lord. Okay? He always sees ahead. Look at Psalm 33 verse 11. Similarly there. Psalm 33 verse 11. It says, the counsel. The word counsel means purpose, okay? Plan. So it says, the counsel, you can say the plan of the Lord stands forever. Praise the Lord. Underline that, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. It says, the plans of his heart, underline that, the plans of his heart to all generations. Underline that. To all generations. So what he desires to be accomplished shall be accomplished. Praise the Lord. Alright. So man sinning won't stop his plan. How many of you know he saw that ahead of time? Praise the Lord. Alright. And he began to plan ahead. So from Genesis to Malachi, we see God, okay, trying to reform his image in man. Remember, what was his plan? Let us make man in our image, right? In our likeness, alright? Then from Genesis to Malachi, we see God, you know, try to do that, reform his image in that corrupted man. Now, how does he do that? He does that through his spirit. Hallelujah. His spirit. Now, the spirit of God, or his ruach in the Hebrew, that's that word, ruach, R-U-A-C-H, okay, refers to his very essence. That is spirit, okay? His very essence. You can say his very nature. Do you get it? What makes God, God? We have a word for that today. DNA. Do you follow that? That is ruach. Essence. Do you get it? Nature. So, God is a spirit. God's spirit is God. Do you follow that? They are one and the same. So that means that all the attributes, all the characteristics of God are found in his spirit. Do you follow that? Okay, that spirit is his very essence, his very nature, his very person. Alright? Now, in the Old Testament, you find a phrase being used time and time again. Alright? Now, that phrase is the spirit coming upon. Praise the Lord. Alright? the Spirit coming upon. So in the Old Testament, that Spirit, remember that Spirit, God's DNA, right? Can we say God's image? Would it be the same thing? Exactly like God? All right. So that Spirit would sometimes come upon man in the Old Testament. All right. And then for a split second, man will look like God. Do you follow that? Remember, that Spirit is God's nature, right? God's image, God's essence. Okay. So we now see man upon whom that Spirit came act like God, think like God, do like God. Okay, so the man upon whom the Spirit came would bear the imago Dei. Do you get it? The image of God. Now the question is, how does God look like? Amen. How does God look like? Now, here's a simple logic for you. We can tell what God looks like when we see the man who operated by Spirit. Do you follow that? Remember, what is God's Spirit? His nature, his essence, what he looks like, right? Then that Spirit comes upon a man, right? So whatever we see that man do, while the Spirit rests upon that man, will be what? What God is like. Do you get that logic? All right, thank you. Okay, so let's look at man upon whom his Spirit came. So we'll look at them, right? To know how he looks, right? His image. Now, first of all, God speaks. You know, we're trying to see, what does God do, right? What does it look like? Now, God speaks. Look at 1 Samuel 10, verse 5. First Samuel 10, 5. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Underline that, will come upon you. Now, remember, that is Saul, right? Okay. And you what? Prophesy. Underline that. Okay, prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now, to prophesy is to speak divinely inspired words. Alright? Naba in the Hebrew, that's that word. N-A-B-A. To speak words divinely inspired. So, you see that Saul can only do this because the Spirit of God will come upon him. Do you see that? Alright? So, look at this. When God's nature comes upon Saul, what will Saul do? It will speak just like God. Come on. All right, thank you. Not only that, God has miraculous power. All right? How do we know that? Remember? Look at the man, right? Upon whom the Spirit came. Now, you see, Judges, the book of Judges speaks of a man called Samson. Amen? Samson. A man who did so much exploits. All right? Judges 16 speaks of how Samson carried a city gate. One man. Let's see that, okay? Verse 3. Judges 16, verse 3. It says, and Samson lay low till midnight, till he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two gateposts, pulled them up. Underline that. Pulled them up. Bar and all. Do you see that? Now, if he stopped there, that's good enough. Now, look at this. He put them on his shoulders. Do you see that? See, that is ork. Okay? He put it on his shoulders and carried. Do you see that? Okay? Them, on the line that carried them, okay, to the top of the hill. Okay? That faces Hebron. See that? One man. He lifts up a city gate, a big gate, puts it on his shoulders, carries it up a hill. One man. Alright? You see that he did several other exploits in his lifetime. Alright? And you see, the secret of Samson is told us in Judges. Samson could only carry out those exploits because the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him. Praise the Lord. Look at Judges 15 verse 5. Judges 15:5. It says, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And look at 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Do you see that? Now, that is a secret. Come on. See that? Okay. And he tore the lion apart, as one would have turned apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. You see that? So you see, this was not his physical strength, right? His physical power, okay? But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Look at Judges 15 verse 14. Similarly there, Judges 15 14. Okay, it says, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Underline that. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bones broke loose from his hands. You see that? Mighty strength. Now, man naturally does not have this kind of power. Do you know that? Okay? Only God. Man doesn't have this. Okay? But by his Spirit, God then forms his imago Dei in man. Do you see that? His resemblance. Also, not only that, okay, how does God look like? Alright? God also knows the past and the present. Alright? He knows the past and the present. In 2 Kings chapter 5, you see a man there by the name Elisha, okay? And Elisha, upon whom was the Spirit of God, could know things supernaturally. 2 Kings 5, 25 to 26. Learning so far? Okay, 2 Kings 5, 25. Okay, it says, now he went in and stood before his master. Now that's Gehazi. Remember that story? Naaman. So he has Oju Kokoro. Did I say that well? Is he also Olunjeya? Does that qualify? Okay. Alright, so the master said, I don't want. He now ran, you know, behind the master, went to take, you know. Ah! Agutan. Okay. Now look at this. Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, ha, well, lie to lie. Your servant did not go anywhere. Lying. Okay? Through his teeth. Now look at 26. It says, then he said to him, did not my heart go with you? Gengen. See that? Underline that. Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Now you see that. Now this is a way of speaking. Heart there means knowledge. Okay? Or understanding. So it's like saying, don't I have knowledge of what you've done? Do you get it? That is, everything that you've done was revealed to me. I have knowledge of it. Do you get it? That's what it means there, okay? It was revealed to me in my heart. He's saying, did I not see everything you did as though I was there? You see that? Okay? Then it continues. It says, is it time to receive money? You see that? So he saw everything that the man did. It says to receive money, to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants. You see that? So by the Spirit, Elisha is able to see things supernaturally. You see that? Okay? He knows what exactly Gehazi did. So we know what God did, right? By seeing what? Elisha. God can see, right? Past and present. Not only that, God also sees into the future. Okay? How would we know that? Through man upon whom was his Spirit. And you find a man in the book of Genesis named Joseph. Right? Okay? Now, Joseph could see into the future. I see Genesis 37 verse 5. Genesis 37 verse 5. Are you there? Genesis 37 5. Okay? It says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. You see that? And he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. 7. There were binding sieves in the field. Then behold, my sieve arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sieves stood all around and bowed down to my sieve. And his brother said to me, shall you indeed reign over us? You see that? So Joseph has quite a big mouth. I don't know why you have such a dream and then tell it to your brothers. Do you get? Alright, but you know, as the case may be, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more. You see that? Okay, some things should be kept to yourself, all right, for his dreams and for his words. But do you understand, or do you see rather, that the brothers understood what exactly the dream meant? Okay? Now see verses 9 to 11. The dream meant we will serve our younger brother someday. See verses 9 to 11, okay? Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers, you see? When I was in high school, I said, our teacher used to say, Elejo Wewe. That's what he used to call us. Elejo Wewe. Okay? He told it to his brothers, all right? And said, look, now he knew that he hated him the first time. He said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed to me. Look at 10. So he told it to his father and his brother. So even this time, his father had to say, Okay? His father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I, so mommy and I, do you get it? And your brothers, indeed, come to bow down to the earth before you, 11. And his brothers envied him. But his father kept the matter in mind. Okay? So we see with Joseph that he could see the future, right? In dreams. Okay? And he could also explain dreams. See that? He had the interpretation of his dreams. You see that later on, Joseph himself admits that God was behind this. Amen. See Genesis 41 verse 16. God was behind this gift in Joseph. Genesis 41 verse 16. It says, so Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. That is, the power is not mine. Do you follow that? That's what that means. Okay. It is not in me. The power to give you the interpretation is not mine. It does not belong to me. Now look at this. God will give. Hallelujah. Underline that. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. See that? So he admits, alright, that God was behind that gift. You see that Pharaoh himself attributes this gift to the Spirit of God in verses 38 to 39 of that same chapter. It says, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God. Underline that. A man in whom is the Spirit of God. Do you see that? Okay. 39 says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, underline that God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You see that? Okay. So we see what God can do when we see what he did through man by his Spirit. You see that? So he has power, right? How do we know? We saw it in man, right? He can see the past, he can see the present, he can see the future. How do we know that? We saw it in man. You see that? Okay. He also speaks. How do we know that? We saw men prophesy. So what is God doing throughout the Old Testament? God is reforming his image. Praise the Lord. Okay, his imago Dei is reforming his imago Dei in man through his Spirit. Do you follow that? He's recreating man, can we say, after his likeness. That is what we see God do throughout the Old Testament portion of Scripture. But now in the Old Testament, there is a problem. Amen? A problem. Now what is that problem? Remember, how does God recreate man? By giving the Spirit. Okay, now the problem with the Old Testament was that that Spirit never dwelt in a man forever. Do you follow that? He never dwelt in a man forever. So that Spirit would come temporarily upon a man. Do you follow that? Temporarily, put that in capital letters. That is the main word, okay? Then for a split second, a little while, okay, a short time, that man would act like God, it will look like God, it will talk like God, it will know like God, it will do like God, okay, but then the Spirit will leave again. Do you follow that? So the Spirit never dwelt in man in the Old Testament, only upon them. Do you follow that? Okay, so he came upon man, enabled them to perform certain tasks, okay, and then he left again. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God could depart from a man. See 1 Samuel 16 verse 14. as we close. 1 Samuel 16 verse 14. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 16 14. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord did what? Departed from Saul. Underline that. Departed from Saul. So he left him. You see that? And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Alright? So you see that once the Spirit departed, man would return to his sinful state. You see that? Okay? So the image of God, Imago Dei, okay, is present in the Old Testament. It is. Okay? Albeit, it was transient. Okay? So it changed. So with men, you find image of God, image of sin. Image of God, image of sin. Image of God, image of sin. Do you get it? Fluctuating. Never permanent. Because the Spirit never remained with anyone permanently. See that? So that is the plight of the Old Testament folks. Okay? Those under the Old Testament. Okay? But look at this. God then promises a time in the future. Praise the Lord. When the Spirit would remain. Praise the Lord. Okay? So the Spirit would never depart again. Look at Ezekiel 36 verse 25. As we close. Ezekiel 36 verse 25. Ezekiel 36, 25. Are you there? Okay. Now, God is speaking here. Can we read it together? Okay. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Now, what is it referring to? It says, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Do you see that? The image is right. Okay. So, idols will no longer bear that image. Do you follow that? Now, underline that. From all your idols. 26 says, I will give you a new heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Underline that. Remember, Jeremiah had said the heart of man is what? Desperately sick. Right? Now, he says, I will give you what? A new heart. Praise the Lord. Okay? How will he do this? And put a new spirit within you. Praise the Lord. Underline that. Put a new spirit within you. It says, I will take the heart of stone, that corrupted heart, that heart of sin, disobedience, rebellion, pride. Okay? I will take it out of your flesh. Hallelujah. And I will give you a heart of flesh. That is a heart that feels. Do you get it? A heart that is responsive to me. 27 says, I will put my spirit within you. Underline that. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Underline that. From cause to statutes, okay? And you will keep my judgments and do them. You see that? You will keep. Absolutely. You will. Do you see that? You will keep. Do you see that? It speaks in absolute terms. So, when this happens, Imago Dei would be permanent. Praise the Lord. No longer transient. Look at Jeremiah 31:33. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 31:33. Okay? Are you there? I'll wait for you. Jeremiah 31:33. It says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. It says, I will put my law in their minds. Underline that. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Can we say by spirit? Ezekiel 36, right? Okay. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. And look at 34. No more. Absolutely. You see that? Absolute terms. Underline that. No more. Can we say that together? No more. Okay. Absolutely. Shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Now why? For they all shall know me. Praise the Lord. Underline that. All shall know me. You see that? From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I what? Forgive their iniquity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And their sin I'll remember no more. See that? Underline that. No more. No more is final. Okay, so what does this mean? It means that man would never reverse back to his sinful nature when this happens. Do you get it? So the spirit would remain forever. Our hearts will know God forever. We'll have that image forever. Praise the Lord. Okay? No more is absolute. It will never change. Praise the Lord. Okay? So you see, God in the Old Testament, he promises to change man's nature. Okay? And how will that be done? By his spirit. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that we will then find men who talk like God, men who walk like God, men who act like God, right? Men who do like God, right? Okay, so that spirit would restore God's image in man. Hallelujah. All right, so we'll spend the remainder of this conference just looking at that. How did God accomplish that plan? And what does that mean for us today? Hallelujah. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. We continue from here. Give him praise. Thank him.